Morning, Navigation Church. How are you doing this morning? Well, I'll tell you, I can tell you're doing good because worship was through the roof. Like, I can always kind of judge, did you come here to sit at church or did you come to be a part of church? And this morning, I have a feeling you came to be a part of church. And so I love it. We're at week number two of our spiritual reset. If you weren't here last week, here's the great thing. Every one of these weeks are standalone. So it plays into a bigger picture, but if you weren't here last week, you can still do it. And I can promise you this, if you haven't taken time to download the app, if you haven't done these 7-day plans, let me ask you this. If you go to a doctor and the doctor says this, listen, I know what will make you feel better. Take two of these and call me in the morning. Would you just trust the doctor? Right. I was told by the team not to ever bring up the other service and like compete you guys together. But at this point, the 10:45 service is already beating you in energy. So let's give another run at that. And I was told it not to make a competition. So don't make it a competition. Here we go. So if you went to the doctor and they said to get better, take two of these and call me in the morning. Would you take two of these? Okay, listen. In your spiritual life, emotional life, mental life, physical life, download this app, read 7 of these, and call me next Sunday. And I promise you, you're going to see amazing changes in your life. And I can tell you this, not because of some false hope. This week alone, in every single NAV group, we had heard testimonies that were absolutely about lives being changed. And so last week, here's what we found out about. First of all, if you're joining us online, we're absolutely thrilled that you're tuning in. Anytime you could stop by, feel free to. If not, we love that you're able to connect with us through the app, through the website, whatever it might be. So thanks for joining us. You're going to miss out on a little card in a second. How many have a card with a little giraffe on it? Okay, take a look at it. Turn it to your back because I'm about to give you your memory verse for the week. Last week, we found out this. In our reset, we found out that if you're in Christ, that means the new has come. The old is gone. And the new? Okay, I was told not to ever compete you against the 10:45 service. But I know more than you were here. And there was a very specific way you had to say the first, right? Because Christ has come, right? As soon as Christ has come, that means we have a new operating system. And we have the new operating means the old is gone. Which means the new? You had to go up at the end. It may brings more excitement. So this week, here's the verse. And at first, you may not understand it, but I promise we're going to process through it. And by the end, there's some of you that this will end up being your life verse. That's how much power I think this has. It comes from us in Genesis chapter 20. It says this, that you, this is a brother talking to a bunch of other brothers right now. And he's standing over them and he says this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. How many could say this? You think there's times in your life where people tried to do something to you on purpose just to harm you. Okay, here's your life verse that you're going to need to know. And you know what? Let's do this. Let's all read it together. Genesis 50:20 says this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Now take this verse up, set it right next to it, because we're going to kind of be going back to this, so you're always going to want to be able to look at this verse. But the first thing I want to say is today we're going to have a conversation called the comeback. You heard that in the transition video. That's actually the name of your 7-day reading plan is the comeback. Why did we pick the comeback for today? Well, last week in our 40-day reset, one of the things that we actually really did, if you think about it, if you process where we were at, we took an honest evaluation of where we are as individuals. Where are you spiritually, and do you need a reset? Where are you mentally, emotionally, physically? And are there places in your life that you need a reset? And it might have just been me, but sometimes after you take an honest evaluation of your current finances, of your current relationships, do you ever look and go, that's a little depressing? Like, I've been working for 30 years, and this is all I have to show for it? Can I say that and be honest? And so if you take an honest evaluation of where you're at as an individual, there's a chance some of you ended last week going, gosh, I'm really far from where I want to be. Well, I have a great news for you. Every setback is a setup for a comeback. Amen. I was told never to pitch you against the 10:45 service, but 10:45, I guarantee will be amen in that one. So every setback in your life is a setup for a comeback. And if you think about it, this is exciting for you to live through. No, it's not. It's exciting for you to tell about later. Yeah. Living through is a pain, right? Because name a movie where the hero was a hero the whole time and there's no conflict and you were engaged. No, that's called a documentary. That's boring. So, okay. So, unless you're into documentaries, then God bless you. And welcome to Navigation Church, where we include you. So here's the best set. Joseph Campbell actually came up with, it's the myth. It's how to write a myth. If you're in Hollywood, if you're a writer, how to set it up. And every great myth, every great story, here's what you have. You have a hero that has a setback. So think of Luke Skywalker. Think of Gladiator. Think of Rocky. Rocky just didn't win every match, and you were excited that it was a Mike Tyson KO in round one, right? You were excited because he was beaten down, and then he came back. You're the Hoosiers, your football moves. All your major things, there's a setback. But what happens is when there's a setback, the hero has to have two decisions. You're either going to collapse in that moment, or you're going to what? You're going to conquer. So here's what I want to tell everyone now, that if you're standing in here, if you're sitting in here, if you're laying down in here, wake up. Okay, so if you're in here right now, no one was sleeping over here, it's awkward. Everybody look this direction. If you feel in your life that you've had a setback, here's the most exciting thing you need to hear today. In your setback, it's a training for your comeback. And the war, the fight that you need to have, that you will eventually have, you're getting equipped for it right here, right now. And what's the fight that you're going to face? It's called a threshold guardian. Why do I use that phrase? Well, I just told you Joseph Campbell, and he has this theory on how to write a myth and how to make a hero. Well, in the writing, it's actually called, there's a conflict that eventually occurs, and you meet your threshold guardian. Or can we say that there's a doorway that you need to walk through, a threshold that you need to pass, and there's something standing in your way to keep you from becoming who you're supposed to be. And by the way, it could be your finances. It could be a loved one. It could actually be a boss. It could be an enemy. It could be an old mindset, whatever that is. Eventually, in order for you to have the comeback that you're called to, you got to defeat the threshold guardian, the thing that's standing in front of you. It's your enemy, not mine. It's your thing to overcome. We can coach you. We can help you. We can give you verses. But at some point, for you to become the hero of your own story, you have to defeat the threshold guardian in front of you. But that threshold guardian, I promise you, wants you to collapse. It doesn't want you to conquer. But the thing is, on the back side of that threshold guardian, on the back side of the thing facing you, it's a new power. It's a new skill set. It's a new belief. It's a new understanding. It's a new equipping. And so everything that you're going through right now, I mean this, I am so sorry you're going through it. But the reality is, everyone's going to go through it. Every major story in the Bible is a story about someone who's had a setback. And then you know what they do? They rely on God, and through God you have your comeback. Probably the most famous one that I can even think of is a guy named Joseph, which, by the way, in your reading plan this week, we've set it up that this Wednesday you're going to read about a man named Joseph, which will hopefully remind you of this sermon, right before you go to your nav groups to discuss what we're talking about here. So again, just another reason why you want to get this app and read through this thing on the comeback. So in the comeback, you have a guy named Joseph. If you don't know anything about him, here's what it is. He's the youngest child at this time. He was the golden child. I always like saying that because you golden child smile real big because you know what that feels like. So he was the golden child. And actually, he was such the golden child, the other brothers hated him for it. Other brothers hated him to the point where one day Joseph, the youngest brother, was coming out to the fields to check on his brothers. His brothers go, let's kill him. Like, I've had relational conflicts with my family before. I never remember dad going, I'm done with him. Off with his head, you know. Don't know why we went with Alice in Wonderland on that, but we did. So all of a sudden, there was such conflict between the brothers. Brother said, we need to kill him off. One brother, though, who was so gracious, said, let's not do that. Let's throw him in a pit and eventually sell him so we can at least make money off the deal. And what a, you know, brother of the year. But at this point, pretty big running. So this other brother, they threw him in a pit. And in this pit, Joseph ended up finding himself in a very low place. Could you agree with that? But here's the one thing I think Joseph understood and that we have to understand. Joseph eventually understood, but we get the ability to see the picture in whole. In Genesis, the most interesting thing occurs. And actually, I provided just one scripture for you out of Genesis. And it says this. It says Genesis, and I don't have the reference in front of me. Genesis 37 says, nope, go to the next slide for me. There it is. Okay, so now, this is an account of Jacob's timeline, Jacob's family, Jacob's lineage. Jacob's the dad. But the beginning of Joseph's story says, I need to tell you a story about the dad. Then he starts talking about the son. He says, Joseph is, And here's the crazy thing. When it was time for him to be born, Luke took a half a chapter and about 20 verses to tell us about our Savior's birth. We make a massive holiday in December over it. 20 verses right there. Jesus being arrested, beat, crucified, and died. It takes a chapter and a half and about 73 verses. Joseph, over the next 14 chapters, 12 of them are fully dedicated to him, and almost 400 verses, which is 81% more than our Savior's death, burial, and resurrection. 81% more verses on just this man, Joseph. And here's the entire story. Joseph's entire story is to tell you what one man went through so a father could get where he needed to. So why do I say that? Well, I'm going to quote you a Proverbs that my wife says is in the Bible. I haven't found it yet, but here's what she says to me all the time. You know, honey, sometimes it's not about you. Right? I mean, honestly, she says it's in there. I haven't been able to find it, but honey, not always about you. What if I tell you Joseph's entire story is so that someone else could find their destiny? What if I tell you that life isn't just about you and isn't just about me? What if I tell you that all of us are part of a bigger picture? Have you ever heard the thing, the butterfly effect? Right, I know other religions make this very part of their religion that we're all in one eternal energy that moves back and forth. And here's the thing, part of that's right. We're all here together. You're one person of over 7 billion people. And what if your life was about setting someone up for success? What if your life was actually the background so that someone else could journey where God's called them to? You go, well, God wouldn't do that. Actually, no, he did it right here. Let me tell you a story about Jacob. Joseph is hated by his brothers. Joseph gets thrown in a pit. Joseph gets pulled out, put in a palace. Joseph gets thrown in a prison. Joseph gets pulled out and becomes a prince. Joseph. Dad's starving to death with the family, and Joseph's up the road. And when he gets to see the family, he goes, guess what? I know what you did was intended to harm me. But actually, I see it a different way now. What you did wasn't intended to me. It's what's happening now. It's intended to save lives. So in your comeback story, I guess here's just your thought that I want to share with you right here. What if what you're going through is actually a setup for someone else to beat their threshold guardian? What if what you're learning right now, what if you're being equipped in order to be a savior, please hear the word I'm saying there, a savior for someone else's rescue? When you say, I don't see that, I believe you don't see that. You know why? Because like Joseph, you're in a pit. So the first step, Joseph gets thrown in a pit, and he's sitting down there going, I had this sweet jacket, dad loved me, I'm in a pit. Actually, I'm about as low as I could get. Some people may use the word depression. So at this point, I'm going to put a pause on me speaking, because to be honest with you, I'm not an expert in depression. That's not really the life rhythm that I've ever had. But my brother, unbeknownst to me, went through an amazing process in his life about this. Actually, in the next couple weeks, is actually launching a podcast because he feels that he's called to actually help people out of this depressed area. And here's the craziest thing. We were best friends while he was going through it, but I was unaware. I talked to him all the time, and I never picked up on it. And the problem was is because he was in it and felt isolated and separated. So if you're here today and you feel like you're in a pit and there's no way up, I'm going to invite my brother Dallas, who, by the way, he has no degree. He has no doctorate in depression. Well, he has a degree. I mean,
it's in musical theater.
Yeah. So if he gets bored, he'll do a dance for you. I don't think he's ever stayed at even a Holiday Inn Express. But in this one area, I'm burying him already. I'm getting myself over. But I will say this. Sometimes your greatest education comes from the school of hard knocks. And some of you may currently be enrolled in the same class he is. So I want you to just sit back, have your eyes open, spirit retentive, and see if you can identify where Joseph is right now in the story and where Dallas was.
So I battled depression. And it took me years to even say that word. It took me years to even embrace it because I am the most unlikely candidate for depression you can possibly imagine. I would be what many would consider privileged. I'm handsome. There you go. Take an offering for that woman. No. I'm charming, I'm talented, I have a beautiful wife, I have three amazing kids. By all indicators, there's no reason I should be depressed. There's no reason that I should battle it. There's no reason that for over a decade I've been dealing with it, that I've been living in a pit. There's no reason. And for you, there might not be a reason either. From all indicators, you might say, boy, I'm suffering, I feel isolated, I feel alone, I feel incredibly sad. Do you know that over 20% of adults will experience some form of depression in their life? That could be a postpartum depression. It could be a suicidal depression. But at some point in their adult lives, over 20% of adults will experience some kind of depression. And there's been a stigma on it for a very long time. But I'm here to tell you that there's no stigma. It's part of the human experience. It's part of who we are, because there are places, as Pastor David was saying, there are places where you hit low points and there's a spiral that begins to happen, that takes place. And there's a lot of triggers to this spiral that take place. And so for me personally, there was some triggers because of dreams that I was pursuing. There were things that I had in mind. There was a destiny that I was choosing. I knew that I was the favored son. I had the multicolored robe. I was going to go out to Hollywood and change it and da-da-da-da-da-da. All of these great things, great words over my life. And there were triggers all along the way, that there were delays and there were detours and there were denials and there were defeats. Delays and detours and denials and defeats. And what happens in that is any one of those can trigger you down into a downward spiral. And maybe you've had some kind of delay or some kind of detour or some kind of denial, some kind of defeat. And what happens when you find yourself in that deep, dark place, when you find yourself in that pit, you feel totally isolated and totally alone. And just as he just said, he had no idea that I was going through it until one night when my wife called him and said, my husband is cutting himself. And he's drunk on the floor. And he's saying, God, where are you? And he had no idea that I was going through it out there in California. My wife struggling. And he had no idea the isolation that I felt in my pit. And so I guarantee you, I know Joseph's story. Because I know the delay of dreams. And I know the pain. But I also know that there's a promise and there's a path. But I couldn't see it. You can't see the peak sometime for the pit that you're in. And you try and climb yourself out. You try and will yourself out. You try and learn lessons. You say, I'm going to climb and I'm going to get over it. And you fall back down. And then you have a detour. And then there's a denial. And there's a defeat. And the spiral just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And so maybe in your life today, and I wrote down specifically, there could be a delay in a dream. Or there could be a detour in your health or a detour in your finances. Or there could be a denial in maybe a relationship. Or there could ultimately be a defeat in some kind of endeavor. It could be an entrepreneurial endeavor. It could be a business endeavor. I don't know. It could be a family endeavor, that there's some kind of defeat. But what happens in that place, we saw with Joseph, he had delays in his dreams. He was given the coat of many colors, and his dad said, you are my son, and you, I am well pleased. And then there was delay, 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 depression. Or the people who were supposed to love him most and protect him, his brothers, his family, they denied him. They denied him, and he threw him in a pit and sold him off to slavery. Denial, 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 depression. Or there was a detour along the way where he went up. He was like, oh, I'm going into Egypt. Okay, I get to work for Potiphar. Potiphar bought me. Oh, I'm going to get to my dreams. I'm finally going to become this captain of industry. He was accused of something he didn't do. Denial. Into the prison. Into another pit. Denial, 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 depression. There were defeats all along the way, and that you, if you look at the end of Joseph's story, when you look at it and you think to yourself, by the time he, there's a point where he interprets the dream for a cupbearer and for a baker, for the Pharaoh. And he says to the cupbearer, hey, you're going to get in front of Pharaoh in just a couple days. Remember me. Remember me. And I think Joseph was still angling for the dream. He was still angling for his position at that point. And the guy went in front of Pharaoh and totally forgot Joseph. Defeat, defeat, defeat. 2 years later, no silence, depression. So that you can tell where Joseph was when he finally stepped up in front of Pharaoh in his moment. And he said, Pharaoh, here's the interpretation of the dream. You're going to need a man who's going to be able to do this for you. Thanks, sir. And he begins to head back out to his prison. Probably because he had no hope at that point. Except he had a dream still. God gives us dreams. He's the one who instills them in us. And when you come across a delay, a detour, a denial, a defeat, and ultimately into that depression, there's two ways that you can try and get out of it. Number one is what I call the atheistic way. For an atheist, I don't know how they ever get out of their depression because everything is the universe. The universe is giving them this and the universe is giving them that. And he told me not to slam other religions, but if you think that a bunch of particles in space are working on your behalf, have fun being isolated. Space is cold and lifeless. It does not care about you. So the atheistic way, you have to will yourself up and you have to gain these insights and you have to get these skills and you have to learn all of these things. But ultimately, there's no one who's actually guiding you through the process. And where Joseph comes from, and this is the second point of today, as Pastor said, the first thing is that there's this, you see the larger perspective. The second thing has to do with perspective too, though. It is this idea that no matter where you are, it's not just about who you are no matter where you are, it's about whose you are no matter where you are. And so even in the darkest place of my pit and my depression, I still know whose I was and whose I am. And so there are two ways to walk that out. The first being the atheistic way, the other being the theistic way. It's understanding that there is a hand of providence who's going to walk you through your pain. And Jesus said to somebody at one point, he said, look, the rain's going to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. Life brings pain, Your Highness. Anyone who says so differently is selling something. The wisdom of the Princess Bride. But life is pain. It brings pain. There's a lot of pain. There are delays. There are detours. There are denials. There are defeats. There is depression. But if we trust that there is a hand of providence who's not going to say, I'm going to take you out of those things, because there's lessons that Joseph had to learn and there's a perspective Joseph had to gain. So I'm not going to pull you out and baby you and say, oh, coddle you. You don't have to deal with any pain ever in your life because you'll never mature that way. What ultimately happens, though, is the hand of providence says, no, I will guide you through. And even though you may not see it while you're in it, when you're on the other side of it, you're going to see that I had my hand on you the whole time. And I am still fighting depression. My podcast, Defeating Depression Podcast. Can I have a cheap plug? Okay, I just did. DefeatingDepressionPodcast.com. You can sign up for an email if you want to know when it comes out, if you want to listen to the podcast. But the reason I'm doing it is because there are daily things I have to do to gain new insights and new revelation, to increase in my imagination and to increase in my influence and impact. And I want to help others do it because I've lived it and I want to help with the hand of providence to let them see along the way how they're being guided through it. So if you're here today, I just want to pray for you really quickly. If depression is something you're dealing with, if there's been a delay in a dream, if there's been a detour in your health or your finances, or if there has been a denial from family, loved ones, a spouse who left you, if there's ultimately been a defeat in your endeavors, I just want to pray that God would break that depression over you today.
Yeah.
And that you would see the guiding hand of providence guiding you along the pathway. And though you feel the pain of the pit, I promise you there's a path.
Yeah.
And I just pray over you the peace of the perspective of the path.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you mind just putting your hands together and thanking Dallas for coming up here? For those watching online, you won't be able to get the personal contact, but for those here, Immediately following, we have prayer teams to my left, and Dallas is going to be over there today if you need to connect with him further. If you're watching online, just reach out to us, any of our social media platform. We will get you connected. And again, it's not someone who went through and got a full degree on here's how I read how you feel. This is someone who went, no, I had dirt on my shoulders because I was buried at one point. So, thanks for sharing, man. I remember the phone call. I felt a million miles away. I ended up praying to the one person I knew that was the closest. Because here's the thing. Joseph has taught me this lesson, and I wish I did it perfectly. Joseph was who he was, where he was. So how do we honor God in our comeback? You need to be who you are, where you are, because it's who you are. And it's interesting because sometimes we are situational, our ethics switch depending on where we're at. So you're either going to be a good husband or you're going to be a bad husband. It doesn't depend on who your wife is. Right? You're going to be a good dad or you're going to be a bad dad. It doesn't matter who your kids are. I promise you this, your kids at some point will disobey you. If anyone needed to hear that today, you're welcome. But that, like for any parent of any given time, like you're sitting there going, amen and yes. But I'm just sitting here, there comes a time. But I believe that Joseph honored God through this entire season. Because here's the thing, even though we kind of conjecture or we wonder, did Joseph think this? Nowhere in there did it actually say that Joseph ever said this phrase, why me, God? But let's be honest, somewhere along the line, 2 years after the baker forgot about him, you would have to think Joseph saying, God, why me, right? And so some of that we project on it, but here's the one thing that we can say that we know, biblically speaking, that Joseph's character stood. He was who he was, no matter where he was. And I believe that he was able to overcome everything that he did because his character stood. So how do you stand when all the world is coming around you? You make sure your character can stand. So then here's a kind of another thought, and I'll pull in just a little bit of where I'm at right now. Not nearly as open and deep where Dallas took us, but so Joseph had an interesting thing, and it's actually the scripture verse that we're seeing here, that even though he's standing in front of his brothers at this time, because his brothers come to buy grain from Egypt, and that's kind of where the story was. Joseph became the guy that for 7 years really hoarded up grain, stored up grain, but then over the next 7 years, there was going to be a major famine. So Joseph said, during the 7 years of plenty, we need to store it up. Then eventually we'll sell off what we have because people won't have enough for themselves. And so his brothers are standing in front of him. They're asking for grain, and here's what Joseph could have said. Hey guys, come here. Hi, I'm Joseph, you're dead. Like he had that type of authority. But Joseph's comeback couldn't be motivated by a payback. I need us to hear this right now. Your motivation in your life to overcome, to get equipped, to come face to face with your threshold guardian in order to kick that door down and that influence down, to move into the thing that God's called you to, if your comeback is motivated because you want to pay back someone else, I promise you, you're not learning the lesson you're supposed to. And by the way, this happens in the smallest ways. So for me right now, if you were to just take an honest evaluation of my life, And by the way, I'm not just talking about my Facebook life that is like perfect and everyone knows it because we don't share anything real there. So I'm talking about real life. Here's what my life is looking right now. Number one, when it comes to me personally, I'm doing pretty good. When it comes to my profession, which happens to be church, so I didn't say business because that'd freak you out. But when it comes to my profession, we didn't move to two services because we're hoping to grow, hoping to have influence, hoping to make an impact in our community. We are. So can I say this? Business is going good right now. I hope you can hear that and not be offended that I didn't like say my non-for-profit. So, okay. So when you look at my family, I'm not a deadbeat dad. The kids love me. They want to play with me. When I took Judah on a date yesterday and Giddy found out he didn't have one yet, he demanded for a date. So daddy went, free hot wings, let's do it. You know, so pretty good dad. I don't think I'll win husband of the year, but well, she still likes kissing me. She loves to kiss me, actually. Like, okay, I made it awkward. I apologize. So everywhere you look in my life right now, I'd say things looking pretty good. But can I be honest with you? Even though all of my life is moving forward this way, my mind is trying to go that way. And it's trying to tell me that I'm not qualified. It's trying to tell me that eventually people will find out I'm a fraud. At some point, my wife will, like, wake up, look next to her, and go, why? Like, I know that. Like, I married up. I'm keenly aware of that. But the problem is, my comeback that I need right now is the mental exercises and gymnastic that my past tries to do to me. My past is screaming to me, you don't deserve this. You're not good enough for this. You're not qualified for this. So even though everything in my life is going one way, my past is calling to me. And by the way, if this is just me, skip this part of the sermon, because maybe you are mentally, emotionally, and spiritually all moving forward, clicking on all cylinders, and good for you. But I'll tell you now, what happens when the dad's voice echoes in your head, you were a mistake? What happens when the mom's voice echoes in your head, I love you, but I'm still leaving you? What happens when the babysitter's voice that was there to protect you but sexually abused you is ringing in your ears? What happens when guilt and shame and condemnation, you seem to be more comfortable with that than stepping through and defeating your threshold guardian? So for me personally, mine's a mental comeback, because everything else seems to be moving forward. I refuse to be defeated from my past that will keep me from my future. And if that's you, guess what? You've been set up for a comeback. You've been set up to move forward. And so the final thing with the comeback, it can't be about a paycheck. But then the final thing we find out is with Joseph. So I told you earlier, I gave you a photo on the front. I'm going to explain now why you have a penguin on the front of your card. Wait, what'd you think it was? No, no, it's not a giraffe. It's a penguin. Why would you say giraffe? See, before the service started, no, talk amongst yourself. Now get back to me when you feel like it. We're not on a hard timeline here or nothing, so. See, before service started, you had one perspective of where you're at in life. But I'm hoping by the time service ends, you have a new perspective. And what is your new perspective? The world intended to harm me. My family intended to harm me. My coworkers intended to harm me. My schoolmates, my classmates intended to harm me. The taxes, the FBI, whatever, the FBI, that, no, you're something else. But, like, I understand that that all intended to harm me, but I need to tell you this, that I'm going through, man, somebody here needs to hear this today. You're going through. You're not through it yet. And that's fine. You're in the middle of your comeback. And I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. I'm going to yell to the deepest of pits. I'm going to declare this over your life. God has done this and allowed this to happen in you because he's intending it to accomplish the good. Amen. And by the way, when you get through going everything that you've gone through, it will save many lives. I got a little secret for you. Ready for this? Like, when you become who you're supposed to be, no matter where you are, and if that's in a pit or a palace, in the middle of your comeback, you're going to discover one thing. The world's not all about you. And so even though you've been set back, you'll eventually be ready for your comeback because you'll realize that maybe my life is going through what it is because someone else needs freedom. Someone else needs a shoulder to cry on. Someone else needs a hand, not a handout, but a hand up. So in your life right now, can we say this? Maybe you need to say this as like a faith statement, and that's not necessarily like you're believing this, but can we all read this together on your giraffe or your penguin? Either way, I want your perspective to shift because you're going through something. And listen, say this with me. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So Dallas, if he came back up here right now to tell you his story about depression, he could then tell you this, that I've gone through what I've gone through, and I want to help you save your life. I can stand up here and tell you my entire story. Every time we do an active partner class, I give you a little backstory of my life. But I can tell you now, I'm not qualified to be up here. I don't deserve to be up here. I shouldn't be up here. but by God's grace. I journeyed through a life, and I was privileged. I had a mom and dad that loved me. They gave to me. I destroyed two of my dad's pools, and he didn't kill me. And those are true stories. You need to ask me. I'll share those real easy. Like, thank you. Appreciate that. So, but here's the thing. I can stand here now and tell you this. There is a Savior that died for you. And I'm not telling it because I read it in a book. I'm telling you because I met him myself. And he died for me not just so that one day that I can go to heaven, which is true, but here on earth, I can have the power and the life and the calling that I've called to, so that I, even though you hit a delay, even though you hit a denial, even though you hit a setback, guess what? It can be a comeback for the life that God's called you to. So if you're here today, I'm going to ask you this. If you're feeling alone, if you've never had anyone said, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? No matter where you're at in life, I would like to ask, would you want him to come stand next to you? But to do this, could everyone just close your eyes, bow your heads, kind of separate yourself, because I want to talk to you right now. Me to you. And I don't want you to feel like the rest of the crowd around you is looking online. You're by yourself right now in your home. The same question goes for you. Would you want to know the God that Joseph knew in all those places of pit and prison and denials and delays, and ultimately know that you're part of something bigger and you want to give your life to him? And it's simple as saying this: Jesus, I believe that you died so that I can live. I give my life to you today. If that's you today, every eye is closed, no heads looking around. Could you just simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can identify that you're making a decision to say today to say yes to Jesus? Amen. I see that hand. I see those hands. Praise God. I want us all to say this prayer together, and then I want to say one last prayer over you. Say this. Say, dear Jesus, I might be in a pit. I might be in a palace. I'm probably in a prison. But you can free me. And I accept the freedom that you gave me when you died on that cross. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And today, God, I choose to live for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for every person right now that feels like they're in a setback. I pray that their perspective shift today from a giraffe to a penguin, to defeated to overcomer, to someone who felt like they've been conquered to now becoming the conqueror. And I pray that you give them the strength they need for the comeback that they're facing. And when that threshold guardian comes face to face to them to try to back them down, stomp them out, smash them, I pray that the power of the living God, the risen King, overwhelms them and that they become more than conquerors, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And I pray today for any person who's fighting with depression, I pray that we've given them hope today. Anyone that is sitting right now and that word depression rings in your ear, I'm telling you now, hope is going to overcome you. And I pray that as we finish up today's service today, God, that we recognize that all this is possible through the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.